And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD. Ooh, this is a good one. Our devotional diamond of the day. The pouring out. Ooh, the pouring out. Plus, we're going to have to examine forsaking his love. Not good. We'll also look at Luke 9, where it talks about what manner of spirit we are. And then we'll close it out with today's Facebook post. That's what God wants.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. I don't think so. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. I think we even had a caller from... Where do we have a caller from?
Harry from Hamul.
Harry from Hamul. And all we have to say is to Harry is, howdy, Harry. Anyway, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473, 866-KPRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation, except for Harry from Hamul. Anyway, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Take a short break and then come back.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Wow! In addition to being experts at new roof construction, old roof repairs, remodeling and maintenance, did you know that Excalibur Roofing is also an expert in waterproofing? That's right. No water allowed. Sorry, Rubber Ducky. From using the top-of-the-line Life Deck systems for deck coating to flat or sloping roofs, Excalibur Roofing covers the angles. Get it? With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded in roofing classifications, plus testimonials from people just like you, you can count on Excalibur Roofing. Call 760-743-8803. That number again, 760-743-8803. Or go online to their website at excaliberroofing.com. The best part of all their estimates are free. Just give them a call. What have you got to lose? But leaks, not onions. 760-743-8803. For residential or commercial help, remember Excalibur Roofing. They've got you covered.
Who would have guessed 5 years ago that you'd be doing what you're doing right now? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. You have no idea what the next 5 years will bring. The future is just as uncertain and exciting, and I might add full of risk and wonder, as the past 5 years have been. But whatever the future may bring, it is also absolute, immutable, unconditional, and in complete harmony with our sovereign God's nature and plans. Did you sigh with relief when you heard that? It's good to remind ourselves that God is in His heaven, and He's got you and your future covered.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know, I don't think I did this last hour at all. You are welcome to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That is one way to go about it. I encourage you today to check out the David Spoon Experience on the Facebook post. It is running around town. I think we've had a couple of thousand peekaboos on it today, so it's one of those bigger ones today. And then also, don't forget the book, His Appointment. You can get that at hisappointment.com for those that have gone through quite the challenge of life and are trying to figure out why God let that happen. I would encourage you to do so. Quick shout out to my good friend Eric Meekins, who has his Sunday morning show, This Is Your Prayer. Is it This Is Your Prayer, This Is Our Prayer? I got to ask him because I keep getting that wrong. But what Eric does, one thing I really like is he's a call-in show, and you call in on Sunday mornings, and he prays with you live on the air. Doesn't matter what it's about. And then he has people come in from all over the country. They've actually called in and have come in and talk about prayer and the effectiveness of prayer. It's a once-a-week show, but a cool one. And so big shout-out to Eric. I just saw him the other a few minutes back. He's a great guy. He's got the right spirit. And it's just, you know, putting his ministry as the Lord's kind of bringing it together. So I'm proud of him. Proud to be a part of it because I think that stuff's cool. And then just before we get into our DDD, which is called Pouring Out, I want to say this about people who are maybe listening even last hour to me talking about the prodigal son and the prodigal father and understanding what it means to, you know, come home, which it's not just for first-time believers, but it's also for backwards or, you know, backsliding believers, but it's also for people who have been in ministry and have had a charted course where the Lord has kind of veered them off and now maybe veering you back on. And why that's important is to understand this. Moses went into ministry a little bit early, and the Lord had him sit for a while, and then he came back and found his better part of his ministry afterwards. And there's many people that go into ministry and go out and come back and do a better part. If you want a great New Testament example, the author of the Gospel of Mark, John Mark himself, entered into ministry and spent some time with Paul and Barnabas, and then left ministry, and then ultimately came back to ministry, had a restoration, and ended up writing the Gospel of Mark, which has led millions of people to Jesus Christ. So the next part of his ministry was pretty important. And so if you're a person that's gone through ministry in the past and you've been disconnected from it, that doesn't mean your ministry time is over. Anytime somebody thinks that way, I just believe that's the enemy taking advantage. Because if the Lord tells you you're permanently done, here's your date of departure, then I will yield. And I would agree. But until the Lord says you're done, then until he says you're done, why would you be done? He knows how to say that's enough. You know, he knows how to say, but then if he hasn't said that, then you need to keep your eyes open. If you're one of those prodigal ministers, it's time to go home too. Okay? All right. Let's get into our next DDD. It's called The Pouring Out. What do you got for me, Tugboat Todd? See, that's water on bamboo, right? Is that what that is? Because it's got that
yes.
Nice little, okay. Nice sound, but a lot of water. Okay, here we go. Amos chapter 9, verse 13 through 14. Amos 9, 13 through 14. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. When the terraced vineyards of the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. They will rebuild and occupy ruined cities. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their produce. I love some of these Old Testament portions where the Lord speaks to his people. And for those that do not understand the context, this is, of course, Israel being restored as a nation. But the dynamic application principle, the DAP principle, which is an exegetical study, is understanding that scripture can apply to you situationally if the Lord so determines it. It's not, you know, when people go, oh, that doesn't work. It's like, that's the most ridiculous thing, to never read a psalm ever. It's like, that's how dumb that is. So when you think of these things, you have to think of these things recognizing that God brought together the rule, the canon, the plumb line for scripture, and it's 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, with about 40, at least 40 different authors from all different walks of life, from kings and paupers, from shepherds to fishermen. And all through that, there's one common thread, and that's the word of God, which is God's word speaking to his people. And this is one of those beautiful passages. This should be used at weddings. It never is, but it should be. It says, the days are coming where the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. So you do understand, I'm not a farmer, so don't give me, but I can figure this out. If I plant something in the ground and it grows and then I take from it, I'm harvesting it. But if it's growing so fast I can't keep up, that's a good thing, right? I get it. That's great. So if I plant a bunch of grapes and then I harvest them, but they keep growing so fast that I can't even keep up, well, that's an abundance. Yeah, but that's what it is. So the days are coming, the Lord says. The time will come. So there should be this expectation on our part. We're pretty good at expecting, but most of us are expecting the other shoe to drop and something to go wrong. If you get one thing right, you're thinking, well, what next will go wrong? It's like, that's the wrong expectation. That's just, you know, being like, you know, Eeyore. I'm not asking you to be, you know, positive Pete here, but you don't have to be Eeyore either, right? You don't have to go, oh, it's my birthday. I mean, come on. Who wants to be around that? But the idea is to have a sense of expectation, and the plowing, the pouring out, the sowing is so productive that the reaping can't keep up with it. There's more coming in than can be counted and more than can be grasped. I mean, it's like, wowzer, that's a good period to be in. It's the pouring out. And then the Lord says in verse 14, I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel. I mean, restoring what was lost. Last time I checked on the word restoration, it had to do with bringing back that which was lost. The restoration, the replacement, almost in a, so it's not even propitiation. That would not be accurate, but it's like it's the refilling up of. I know that's technical, but work with me. And it's like what has been lost will be restored, and perhaps you've been in a rut. And you've really, you know, in your walk or in your life or in your job or in your relationship, you know, restoration is available for the people of God. It's one of the things we talking about the prodigal son, is that the ultimate end of that story that Jesus was sharing was restoration. And there should be an expectation of restoration. Now, how will that restoration look? I don't know. I mean, here he says, I'm going to restore the fortunes of my people. They'll rebuild and occupy ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards. They'll drink their wine. They'll make gardens. They'll eat fruit. They'll eat the produce. The blessings, I can tell you, are determined by God because the blessings are given by God. So they're determined by God. What will all those blessings be, Dave? I have no idea. But knowing that the Lord gave us Jesus Christ and held nothing back from us, I would suspect the blessings will be fantastic. And I don't think that's an exaggeration or a stretch. I think what we should do is be aware that the Lord pours out on his people. And no, it doesn't happen every time, because otherwise you would never understand the difference between the highs and the lows in the wilderness. But the Lord does pour out upon his people. And maybe instead of all the wackadoodle stuff that's going around us and all the politics and all the other stuff that's taking place and the economy, maybe this is just a great season to grow spiritually. And there's a restoration of what was lost, and he pours it out upon you. How great is that? That's greater than gold, right? We know it to be true. It's his word. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at excaliburroofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
Never call it quits in pursuing Jesus.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Marvin Williams. Marvin writes, "One of my favorite television programs is The Amazing Race. In this reality show, 10 couples are sent to a foreign country where they must race via trains, buses, cabs, bikes, and feet from one point to another to get their instructions for the next challenge. The goal is for one couple to get to a designated finishing point before everyone else, and the prize is $1 million. Marvin continues, "The Apostle Paul compared the Christian life to a race and admitted that he had not yet arrived at the finish line. Brothers and sisters," he said, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize." Paul didn't look back and allow his past failures to weigh him down with guilt, nor did he let his present successes make him complacent. He pressed on toward the goal of becoming more and more like Jesus. We are running this race too. Despite our past failures or successes, let us keep pressing on toward the ultimate goal of becoming more like Jesus. We aren't racing for an earthly prize, but for the ultimate reward of enjoying Him forever. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Tugboat Todd and I were just talking about a little bit of food. You were telling us you guys used to have big food wars back in the day.
Yeah.
And with grapefruits?
Well, there when Point Loma Nazarene was remodeling, they were putting in a new cafeteria. In the old one, we decided it'd be fun to go out with the food fight. So, I was throwing like grapes and little things, but somebody threw a full unpeeled grapefruit right on the side of my head.
That seems like a big food object to throw.
Yeah, and they won. I don't know if they were on the baseball team or what, but hit me upside the head and I got citrus in my eye.
Well, see, now that therein lies the funny part of that story. So, when I first started doing the radio show about 4 years ago, we were in... initially, we were in Encinitas, and then we moved to Carlsbad, and we went to a local store like off the Carlsbad strip where all those restaurants are, just like right off the main road. And we went to this place, and it was packed, which is like we didn't know when to go, when not to go. You learn that thing. And it was a pretty interesting place, and I got these things called fire wings, and they were like they're supposed to be the multi-high temperature, not the regular ones. And, you know, when you don't think about things, you know, and then I touched the wings, and then all of a sudden this little, you know, thing came by my eye, and I went to splat it from my eye, and that hot sauce went right in my eye. I mean, I think I was screaming like, you know, like a four-year-old. I'm pretty sure. Ah! You know, it's what you don't want to do is eat hot wings. That's one thing with barbecue sauce. Because, you know, some people like, you know, eyeballs with barbecue, but it was so hot.
Did your wife initially know, like, what was going on?
I won't tell you what she said past stop whining. That's all I'm going to give you. You know, I didn't really have a good answer for this because my eye was falling out of my head. But, you know, that reminded me when you said the thing about the citrus. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember I had one of those. That was drastic. Okay, let's get into our next element, our DDD. Called Forsaking His Love. Do we have a sound for this? We don't have a sound for this one. This is coming out of Jonah. And you're going to find out these next, let's see, is it this segment and the next segment, both coming out of Jonah. I just finished the book of Jonah. I just finished the New Testament in the ESV, and I'm just about done with the Old Testament in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, switching into two different translations, the Berean Standard Bible and then the New King James. Is New King James, I'm going to do the Old Testament, and the Berean Standard Bible I'm going to do in the New Testament. I'm excited about that. But this portion came up today in Jonah, and I wanted to cover it. Jonah chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good, salvation comes from the Lord. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." Wonderful portion. This comes out of the NIV, the 1984 version. You'll notice the 2012 version does not have it written out this way. I like the 1984 version better, just personal. And here's what it says. It says that those who are clinging to worthless idols, I don't know that it takes a lot of insight to understand that a worthless idol is an idol that's worthless. It's something that you and I cling to that's not the Lord. What is an idol? And in the Old Testament, of course, we understand idols were actually thought of as gods, and people would bow to idols and, you know, worship idols. And it goes all the way from Genesis on, all the way back to when Jacob left and his two wives took the idols of the house. I mean, this is not a new concept or a new element, but in Scripture, you find out that the idols are, in the mind of God, broader than just the statues. Because when we'll sit there and we'll think of the word idol, some of us will think about Indiana Jones or think about something like that. So you're just thinking, oh, well, I'm not bowing down to a rock. I'm not looking at a piece of wood and doing some kind of special dance. But that is not what the trouble is on the idol. It's not what they're made of. It's what they represent and what they do. And what an idol does is gets in between us and God. And if there's anything in your heart that goes in between you and God, that is thereby an idol. Because idols interfere with the proper worship of God. And when the Lord says, "You'll have no idols, you'll have no idol before me," while it is in fact talking about physical elements, it's also talking about the deepest elements. And you get that understanding prior to Exodus in the story of Abraham, where it says in Abraham, Genesis 22, that he loved his son Isaac so much that the Lord tested him and asked him to sacrifice his son, which Abraham was willing to do. I bet it wasn't easy, but he was willing to sacrifice his son to make sure that nothing stood in between Abraham's heart and God's heart. And that's where the whole idol process comes in when you get into Exodus. It builds off of that. And the idea is to understand that anything that's in your heart that separates you from God is an idol. Now, it could be a career. It could be a person. It could be fame. It could be money. It could be sex. It could be a ton of things. But if it gets in between you and God, it's an idol. And the Lord makes it clear that every idol is worthless and useless and will create problems. And in this passage in Jonah, he says, those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. In other words, God wants to pour out grace, but because of the idols in our hearts, the tube is blocked. We're clogging it up with pollution, with garbage, with rubbish. And he wants to pour grace upon us, but because of the idol, we're restricting the flow. Are we talking about salvation? Not likely. I mean, it could be in some cases, but ultimately it's the day-by-day living with God grace that's being clogged by our idol clinging. And I don't care what that thing is. I have a very good friend who's mentioned in the past to me a couple of times that he's had to do this, watch this with sports. And I think people do this with communities. Well, they do it with teams. They do it with, you know, genres and movies. And, you know, you can so love sci-fi, it can become an idol in your life. You got to watch that. If you really want to watch a sci-fi and God wants you to really spend time with him, but you choose sci-fi, guess what? That's an idol. And when we do that, we forfeit this grace. And Jonah, in his prayer, says, you know, I'm going to come to you with a song of thanksgiving. I'm going to sacrifice to you with a thanksgiving heart. I don't want to have an idol that I cling to that separates me from your grace. I'm going to make sure that in my lips are thanksgiving so as to limit that opportunity for the idol to have power over my life. Like, that's a great idea. What a great idea. What a great teaching throughout Scripture. The more praise that's on your lips, the less opportunity. The more praise that's on your lips for the Lord, the less opportunity you and I have to cling to idols. It's just good. It's just a good idea. I like it. Because anything that pulls me back from clinging to something I shouldn't cling to, that's a good thing. It's the kind of thing I need. So I encourage you. I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking to you just like I'm talking to me. Many times in my life that I have clinged to things that were worthless, and I need to not do that, repent of that, change that, because the stupidness behind it is I'm forfeiting grace for nothing, for what is ultimately nothing. Instead, I should be giving thanks and making sure my thanksgiving is going unto the Lord so that I can make sure there's less opportunity to have idols in my heart between me and God. If you can't relate to any of that, God bless you. If you heard me, God bless you. Just take one more step close. It's worth it. One less idol in your heart. It's worth it. Amen? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere. When you lay down your own life for me, your
love, it's a love that lives inside of me. Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger, they are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about Starbucks and Target and how Christians can make a statement against corporate policies they don't agree with.
I can't tell you the last time I went into a Starbucks. Never really liked their coffee anyway. But I would not give them the benefit of my money to use the profits from that to advance an agenda that is 180 degrees opposed to what I believe. And I think as Christians, as conservatives, we need to be good stewards of the money that we have and how that money is used so that we're not putting it into the hands of those who are going to use it against us. So I think we should shop, as is evidenced by so many people when it comes to Target, what they've done. Target stocks have declined significantly. They've lost about $10 billion worth of equity. We just need to continue that.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And I pray the Lord my soul to keep me through your grace.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to go about that. Got kind of an interesting DDD, devotional diamond of the day. It's actually kind of based off of Luke 9, 55 and 56, but not entirely. At least the title is. The title is, What Manner of Spirit Are We? If you remember, James and John wanted to call down thunder in Luke 9, 55 and 56. Wanted to call down thunder on the people who rejected the gospel message, and Jesus turned to them. And this is in the NAS and the King James, and also I think in the Net Bible, but it says, Jesus said, you know, that's not why I came. You know not what manner of spirit you are. Interesting statement. So as I was going through my study this morning in Jonah, I was finishing up on chapter 4. It was fascinating to me because that same notion came, you know, maybe a little bit clearer, became clearer to me as I was going through this portion in Jonah. And if you'll remember the story of Jonah, Jonah was sent to Nineveh to proclaim that judgment was coming. But instead of going to Nineveh, he ran away, which means that God had a mission for him, and Jonah thought, yeah, I don't want to do that mission, so I'm going to go the other way. And I did a map study. If you've ever do this, it's really fun. So where he was supposed to go was Nineveh, but where he ended up going was Tarshish. He fled to Joppa to go to Tarshish. And it's like, you wouldn't think that much of a big deal about it, but I want you to think of it in these terms. This will really help you understand. So it's as though Jonah is in Los Angeles and God says, I want you to go to San Diego, and Jonah goes to San Francisco. That's exactly what's going on. So you can't make it any clearer. It's like the dude goes in the exact opposite direction. Just like, so he goes that way, finds a ship to Tarshish, thinks everything's going great, to be honest, because he does get on a ship. He thinks he's escaping from the Lord. And a lot of times when people run in the very beginning with the Lord, they think everything's going fine because they're getting along. They haven't been blasted by lightning. It's all good. But eventually you get on a ship or you get into some situation and the Lord calls you out and you know it and you kind of can't escape it. And so in this case, you know, the people on the ship are like going, cry out to your gods, you know, da-da-da-da-da, who are you? Okay, I'm a Jew who was sent on a mission from God to be a prophet, and I told him no. And they're all like, what? Why would you do that? And so he's like, throw me in the water. And they're like, what? These poor guys had no idea what was going on. And so he's like, throw me in the water, and that'll be the end of that. So he gets tossed in the water, and a giant fish, not a giant whale from Disney, that has a fireplace in it, and a couch, and a window in the side of the whale, but a giant fish, most likely a great white shark or some form of shark that can hold a human body, swallows him whole. And the scripture says that the seaweed is wrapped around his head. Chapter 2 opens up and he starts praying. Very, very evident to most commentators and in the Hebrew that he waits a little while to start praying, which of course I have always found amazing, because if somebody is swallowing, if I'm being swallowed by a fish, I would think during that process is the time I'm praying. Okay, it's like, okay, there's one leg. Okay, there's another leg. Help! You know, but he was pretty mad at God, so he was really holding his own. Then finally he, okay, I'm sorry. So then eventually the fish throws him up, you know, spits him out, and he ends up on dry land, and then he goes to Nineveh, and he goes and he tells the people, okay, God is going to judge you. You guys are in trouble. Big city, by the way, a three-day walk city, which means it's probably 15 to 18 miles, if not more, long. So it's a long walk, and it's a big city, and he's just like, you guys are in trouble. God's going to wipe you out. And the whole area responds. The Bible says great and small. They all go on a fast. And when we talk about fasting here in Christianity, we often talk about you don't eat anything but water, or you just have one thing, or because to fast means to go without. But in this particular fast in Nineveh, no water, no bread, no substance in any form for man or animal. Like, that was an intense fast, right? Everybody. So God, because they repent, God has mercy and does not destroy the nation. And we're going to pick it up right at that point, because Jonah recognizes God's not going to destroy the nation. This is what happens. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. So the people repent, and Jonah is bummed. You getting this? He's like, no, I went there to preach, you know, fire and brimstone. I want to see the play. And he's waiting for the train to hit another train. He's waiting for the crash. And there is no crash because God is merciful and they repent. So the first thing I thought of this morning is, was Jonah in the wrong profession? Because he's a prophet and the guy's out there proclaiming repent and the people do and he's bummed. And it's like, wait, that's like a person in customer service who's in a customer service position but hates people. How many of those people have you run into in your lifetime where you're like going, your job should be counting pennies behind a vault because you should never talk to humans? Right? Well, Jonah's pulling that same kind of thing. It's like, I'm a prophet. I've proclaimed, repent. And they do. And he's just like, well, that just is terrible. It's like, what is wrong with you? You're a prophet. They're supposed to repent. And then Jonah tells God what he doesn't think is great. Here's what I don't like, God. Oh, yeah? What's that, Jonah? You're too nice. I can't believe you let these people off the hook. Interesting right there. Jonah was upset because God let the people off the hook because they repented. He was having the go get 'em God Pharisee-like attitude. That's what you and I have when God does something to somebody we don't like and we go, see there, proof. Ha! And that's the wrong spirit. When you want somebody to fail because you have the wrong spirit, how do you think that comes off to the Lord? When you want somebody to not succeed, how does that work in the Lord? You see, here's the element, is that he's a prophet and should want people to repent. I mean, that's what prophets do. They prophesy so people will repent. And that's what, you know, the mindset should be, you know, all right, people, way to go. Good job. Way to respond to God. Instead, Jonah's upset. And what Jonah wanted was God to bring the crash, to see the disaster. And how we think God should respond to a situation is super interesting to us, but has no value to God. In the sense that God, the people wanted me to do this, so I'll do it. You know, the scripture doesn't say that God does something outside of bringing a judgment where he'll do something like that. It's like God just doesn't respond to the will of the people. Oh, it's the will of the people. I understand government. I understand the process of America. It's supposed to follow the will of the people, but God is not the government. He's God, and he's in charge. So how we think God should respond doesn't hold value. How we react to how God responds shows our character. Oh, what? Be quiet, Dave. No, how we react to what God does in other people's lives or in the situation around us, that shows our true character. Do you want the people to get the judgment of God? Do you want the city to come crashing down? Do you want to be a God go get 'em attitude like the Pharisees? You broke the law, Jesus. You broke the Sabbath. And now you're going to pay. Is that how we are? Because that's not Christ-like, and that's not God-like. That's dumb-like. So the question is, do his actions around us in our circumstances, do they bother us because he doesn't do what we think he should do? Are we acting like, God, you're too nice? You should be meaner. Remember how many times he's been nice to you? Wasn't it his kindness that allowed you to repent so that you could live? Same is true for me. Same is true for you. We need to recognize what manner of spirit we are and make sure it's one that lines up with Jesus Christ, not with what we as Pharisaical people might perceive God should do. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
In my heart, there are tears. More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
So, how's that New Year's resolution coming along? A recent study found that only 1 out of 5 New Year's resolutions survives past the month of February. If your resolution didn't make it this far, you can always try again. But, you know, there's one thing about ourselves we will never be able to change. Not with resolutions or willpower or anything that we do. And that one thing is sin. The Bible tells us that we are all born into sin, separated from God. We can never live up to the standard of perfection God requires. But he loved us enough to come to earth as a man named Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave his life on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says that if you believe Jesus Christ is God and surrender your heart to follow him, you'll be forgiven of your sins and given a life that will last forever. If you want to learn more about Jesus, visit findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. During the first century, people believed in many gods, so the Apostle Paul continually emphasized the true and only God. He said God is above all as the sovereign creator and controller of the universe. He is through all as the providential upholder of the universe. He is in all as the personal indwelling presence. Israel's worship of the only true God unified and set them apart from all the nations around them. By worshiping him alone, they remained strong and proclaimed the greatness of the true and living God to the rest of the world. The same is true of Christians. We have the same Father, and like Israel, our unity is founded on him. As we worship him and him alone, we will be a powerful witness to the world. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want you to reach out to us, davidspoon at kprz.com. We hope you will do that. We hope the show has been a blessing for all. It's been a great week. I want to thank Tugboat Todd for doing an excellent job.
You're welcome. Thanks for the acknowledgement.
Yeah, doing a great job, brother. I'm really, really happy about how things are going. And we've got some big things coming up next week. We got a whole bunch of interviews from a whole bunch of people from all over the world. This week we didn't have as many interviews, but then I was trying to get a lot of stuff out of me, so that worked out really good. And next week we're going to have a ton of interviews, and it should be fun, fun, and then more fun. That'd be fun, fun, fun. Not double the fun, triple the fun. That's how we do it. All right, we're going to get ready to do our Facebook post. The music you're about to hear has nothing to do with the actual Facebook post, but it has to do with an old television show that my brother and I used to watch. And so I think he'll be listening and he'll appreciate this little clip. So it's a little bit of nostalgia for the Spoon Brothers. Go ahead. Ah, yeah, that's the ticket right there. For those that don't know, that was Mannix. If you remember that, Mike Connors and Mannix. That's right. Long time ago in a land far away. The title of this Facebook post making the rounds in the Facebook world today is "That's What God Wants." That's what God wants. Ready? This is one of those take it slow, listen to it carefully, make sure you know what's going on. Here's how it starts. There is a place for you. There is a place for you. It is where God wants you. Now, the theme for the last 2 hours has been that the Lord has a plan for you, has a place for you, something for you to do. And it's where God wants you, but you need to be willing to look, explore, examine, and evaluate. I mean, you got to be a participant. Is it easy? No. I don't think it's easy. It may be easy for some, not easy for me. But do you need to move forward? Yes, you do. And I do. We need to keep moving forward because moving backwards is not the option. And the same thing that the disciples encountered with Jesus when a bunch of disciples left Jesus and Jesus said, "You don't want to leave, do you?" And the disciples said to Jesus, "Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life." So it's like, well, you can't go backwards. There's nowhere else to go. Nobody else has got a heaven to put you in. So do we need to move forward? Yes, we do. In the post I put, "I have been where you are. Why do anything in Christendom when you don't have to get to heaven?" Now, that's an interesting statement. Why do anything else in Christianity when you have already acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that in God's testimony regarding his Son, Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose 3 days later, and has ascended to the Father, is at the right hand of the Father, and is coming again. Why, if you acknowledge that testimony, do you need to do anything else when your pathway to heaven has been made clear? What is the requirement? Why do it? Why should you have to do anything else? Because you've already acknowledged God's testimony. You've responded to John chapter 1, verse 12. You have received the authority to be children of God by acknowledging the testimony of God. So why do anything in Christendom when you don't have to in order to get to heaven at this point? And that is a great and honest question. I don't think that's a bad question at all. People are like, that's terrible. Don't say that. What are you talking about? That's honest. But here's the answer. You know why you find the place that God wants you to find? Do you know why you go to that place that you should be willing to look and explore and examine and evaluate? Do you know why you need to move forward? Do you know why you need to do these things? Here is the answer. Ready? Big, big, big answer. Ready? God wants you to. Sometimes people try to use theology to get out of doing things. And they'll come up with, well, I don't have to do that because of this, or I don't have to do that because of this, or this is my position, so what's the difference? But the reality is God wants you and I to do things. And if you don't respond to God wants you to, then there's a lot bigger question as to whether you're really interested in God or not. Because that's the question. The question is, why do anything in Christianity when you don't have to do anything else? And the answer is because God wants you to, and that's the reason why, and that reason is good enough. God doesn't have to give you another reason. You don't need a theology to try and escape. If God wants you to do it, then you do it. There's nothing. That's it. Done. If the Lord wants you to go into a ministry or wants you to go into another field or a profession or wants things from you, you do it because he wants you to. Will it impact whether you get saved or not? Well, if you're really saved, no. But if you're really saved, you understand that you do it because God wants you to do it. You don't have to have an answer for everything that God wants you to do before you do it. I've had people say to me, well, why would God want me to do this? Why would he tell me this? I don't understand. Well, maybe you're not supposed to understand. In fact, Paul was told, go to this city, and once you get there, then I'll tell you what to do. But guess what? God wasn't going to tell him what to do until he got there. So sometimes you got to just say, get this, yes, Lord. And you do what he sets before you. That's it and nothing more. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.